Thank you, everyone, and welcome to the Women of Grace, Faith, and Courage, Pursuing the Heart of God, Going Deeper with God Bible Study Series. So excited that the Holy Spirit just prompted me to press record. We almost missed this whole moment, so I won't repeat what was already said, but I am excited about what this series is going to do because, again, it's for those who are new to the faith, those who are seasoned, those who desire to rededicate their lives back to God. So what the Lord said is get your pen, paper, Bible, and notes app ready because he's going to speak to us through this. And I so believe that it is truly going to do that exactly which the Lord envisioned it would do. And so I sense that there'll just be like a renewed sense of joy. There'll be a renewed sense of just like awe and just a beauty and really just a desire, a renewed desire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to really just be in the presence of God and even just trying that in a different way. What does that look like for me? And well, I struggle with prayer. I don't really pray a lot. And I really lost the desire to pray. And so I just believe that through this Bible study series, as we talk about pursuing the heart of God through prayer, through fasting, through worship, through obedience. Oh my goodness. I just believe God is just really going to minister to our hearts. So let me just open us up in prayer and we'll just dive right into what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, we just worship you, Lord. We thank you for this series. We thank you for just the revelation. We thank you for all that you're going to pour into hearts and minds tonight, God. We so desire, Lord, just to be where you are, just to be in your presence, God, just to draw closer to you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you said that you are drawing your children closer to you and back to you, God. And so that is exciting, Lord, as we look to this new year, for this to be a year of greater intimacy with you, God. So closer than we've been in the past, closer than we were last year, God. So I pray that you would just speak to hearts tonight, God, that you would just again meet us where we are, God. And even when this study tonight is over, that even as we rested in bed, that you would still speak to us and we would have notes or journals with notes in it, and you would just pour revelation and understanding into our heart, God. We just truly, truly honor you, God. We want you to have first place in our life, Lord. So we thank you, God. We magnify you. It is in your most holy name that we pray. Amen and amen. 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 So we're excited about pursuing the heart of God through prayer. And as I sat with the Lord, sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about what the Lord can do for us, right? We're praying because we're seeking God to do something, or as some may say, we're seeking the hand of God, right? That means, oh, Lord, could you help me through this? Could you get me out of this debt? Could you help my marriage? Could you protect my children? Nothing wrong with that. Those are all good things to pray, valid things to pray. We want to pray before the Lord about the things that we, you know, the challenges that we're having, the provision that we need. But as we think about this series and this first lesson or this first study and kicking it off, the Lord is really speaking to us about pursuing the heart of God through prayer. So we're not praying, and I'm not going to focus tonight on prayers that are going to release provision into our hands and blessings into our lap. There's enough prosperity gospel for us to understand that when we pray, the Lord will answer us, right? He hears our prayers. And so we know that he doesn't, no good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. So we're not going to talk about seeking the hand of God, what he can do for us, but how we can grow closer to God through prayer. And the first thing that comes to mind when we think about that is the word access. And I'm going to give a definition of access. Right? Access means a means of approaching or entering a place. It is an entryway. It is an entrance. It is a way in. So when we think about that word, we think about the access that we now have as believers to God. Now think about the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament, there were high priests, right? There was a process in which people had to atone for their sins. There was a mediator or the middle person, which was, right, the high priest. There was no way that anybody could speak to God, right? Or even be in the presence of God. That was in the Old Testament, right? But we know that when God sent his son Jesus, right, on the earth, and when Jesus finished his assignment or fulfilled his ministry assignment, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 51, that at the moment, the curtain of the temple, so it's talking about at the moment that Jesus Christ gave up his spirit, meaning he died, right? When he hung on the cross, that the curtain of the temple, right? The temple that represented the process or the place where there was a process for accessing the Lord. There was a middle person. There was a high priest. There was sacrifices. There were all of these things, these rituals, thank you, Holy Spirit, and routines that had to be done that prevented anyone from having any access to God. But at the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook and the rocks split. So what that verse tells us is that at the moment that Jesus Christ gave up his spirit, right, or died, right, on that cross, that the curtain of the temple was torn into two, and it represents access that we now have because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, right? So now we have direct access. So we have an entry, an entrance, a way in to the presence of God that those in the Old Testament, right, thousands of years ago, they did not have. So when I think about the access, I think about the privilege and honor that we have because of this, because we have unrestricted access. So it's like we literally have a direct line of communication to our Lord and Savior. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a direct line of communication to and with our Lord and Savior. And so the Lord brought something in front of me that was practiced that was back in the 1900s. So I don't know, you may remember there used to be switchboard operators, right? So in the earlier days, no one could directly contact or make direct connection with the person that they wanted to speak to. Instead, they had these switchboard operators, right? And they were an intermediary. So it was literally a telephone operator connecting the call, right? But when the 30s hit, technology changed. People were then allowed to dial directly to another person without the intermediary, without the operator, without the middleman. That's what it looks like now, post-crucifixion. We now have this direct line of communication with Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that he made. We don't need an intermediary. So in the Old Testament, they had a high priest. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. So now we have direct access to the Lord, our God. So again, access is direct entry, a direct way in, a direct point of contact. We can literally, says the Bible, boldly approach the throne of grace. That means we can take our petitions and our prayers directly to God, right? Like this is, it's so simple because this is the basics, right? This is, we can pray to God. We pray to God to build a relationship, but it is so exciting to actually take a step back and go, oh my goodness, I could actually have been in a position where I needed to tell someone else my prayer and then they take it before the Lord. Now we still have intercession prayer, which is somebody standing in the gap or going before God on our behalf, but we also pray for ourselves and we pray for others, but prayer is a direct line of communication to God. He wants to speak to us. He wants to hear from us, right? So it is, it's not about just, again, seeking God for what he can do. There's enough of that. I think we all have a list of petitions that we have at the altar or things we're asking God to do and, you know, some financial breakthrough and some, you know, restoration of certain things. And again, nothing wrong with that. But when we think about direct access to God and what that means in terms of our relationship, it is so amazing that God desires such from us. I mean, who are we? It's like we're mere mortals, right? It's like little old us, right? And so what does this access mean for you and I? So one, it means we serve a God who, again, he desires a personal, intimate relationship with his children. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was built, the Lord said it was so that he could dwell amongst his people. God desires to commune with us. Oh my goodness. He desires relationship with us. So even when we feel like, Well, I don't really know about this prayer thing. I don't really feel like I'm praying right or if I'm doing it right. Or, I mean, there's all of these things that we may struggle with in desiring or pursuing a relationship, a deeper relationship with God. And let me just tell you, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're doing it right. It is prayer. Prayer is just words. It's a conversation. I think sometimes the enemy, he wants us to feel like we're missing the mark. Well, I'm not praying like this other person. It doesn't matter where you are in your prayer journey, right? Your prayer journey may look different from the person, the sister beside you, or the sister who you talk to who prays differently to God. Prayer is simply a conversation. It is a conversation that we have with God, who already knows everything about us, but yet he desires for us to come to him and talk to him and share with him. And that's how intimate relationships are developed, by what? Spending time with someone. And one way that we can do this is through prayer. So this is exciting for us. Even if we're seasoned in our walk, we're reminded and we are encouraged to know that prayer is our lifeline, right? Like, prayer is literally to us, to believers, as what a heart is to our body, right? Literally, our heart beats and it operates because of our heart. It is literally what keeps us going. Prayer is a direct line of communication. So let's look at, I'm going to share three nuggets. We won't be on long tonight. I just want to release that which God has given me, and then I won't hold us, but I'm going to just share three nuggets on how to pursue the heart of God and draw closer to God through prayer. The first one is begin where you are, right? So begin where you are. That's it. Begin where you are. So even if you feel like I'm struggling with prayer, I'm struggling with knowing what to say, I'm struggling with feeling like, begin where you are. Pray what's on your heart in your own words, right? And we're talking about honest prayers. Now, I'm not talking about being disrespectful or approaching God in a disrespectful manner. He is still holy and righteous, so we shall revere him in such a way. But I'm talking about honest prayers, because honest prayers, that's what moves God, right? Honest prayers, pouring our heart out before the Lord. That's something that we should all practice. Why? Because the Lord can handle our emotions. And so sometimes we try to compartmentalize our thoughts and our feelings because we feel like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to share those with the Lord. But we have to always remember the Lord knows the thoughts before we think them, right? The psalmist says the Lord knows our rising up and our setting down. So he knows everything about, he formed our inward part. He knows every single thing about us. Yet it is such an amazing experience when we can just get honest in our prayers and pour our hearts out before the Lord. So I'm talking about the real, the raw, the good, the bad. I'm talking about the disappointments, the sin, the hurt, the heartbreak, the grief, when you feel like you just want to, you say something mean to somebody, when you want to be ugly with your spouse or with your children or with your coworker. We leave all of that at the feet of our Lord and Savior. He can handle our emotions, right? And again, I want to be clear when I say we pour our hearts out. And again, I don't mean we come before the Lord in any kind of way with, again, vulgar or profane words. God's a holy God, right? So, but we have this amazing ability to go before the Lord and pour our hearts out. And we would be surprised how liberating it is to know that after we poured our hearts out, literally God is, he's there, and he's taking on the burden and the weight that we would otherwise be holding on to if we're like holding on to certain emotions. And a lot of times certain emotions like anger, they'll fester, and sometimes they'll transfer or evolve into something else, a greater emotion. And then if we aren't careful, anger, sometimes disappointments can open up the door for depression, right? Heartbreak, grief, if we don't allow the Lord in, can open up the door to depression. Anger can open up the door to the enemy to get us to do something else or to respond in certain situations when we shouldn't, right? So again, we have the opportunity to pour our hearts out before the Lord. And the other thing is, we shouldn't be intimidated by prayer. So one of the enemy's greatest assignments is to hinder, prevent, or destroy our prayer life. Satan is real. The adversary is real. He does not want us to be in relationship with the Lord. He hates God and he hates us, and he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that we are busy, bogged down, emotionally unstable, to make sure we are just so dog tired when we go to open up the word, and when we go to pray, and when we go to have quiet time, he's going to make sure we're pulled in several different directions. We are literally going to have to be intentional about our time of prayer, rising early, staying up late, finding a place, clearing a calendar, saying no to certain things so that we can make ourselves available for prayer. And also, we can just be praying throughout the day. So when I say clearing calendars, I mean just that still, quiet time. But let's be clear, the Bible says we pray without ceasing. So throughout the day, wherever we're at, grocery store, work, whatever we're doing, we can just be talking to the Lord, right? Like, I talk to the Lord all day about everything, truly my best friend. If somebody walked in my house, they would think that I was crazy, because they would be wondering, who am I talking to? Because there's nobody in the room. And I'm like, Lord, I mean, this is literally the kind of relationship that we can have. We were just sharing, like, Lord, did you see that? Oh my goodness, Lord, I'm glad that I did. This is just a conversation. I mean, if we seek best friends in the world that we want to share everything with, why wouldn't we actually allow God to have that same place, or to have that role in our lives as our best friend, right? That's something for us all to be reflecting upon when we think about how we search and seek out worldly relationships and worldly companionship when we have God. Amen. The second point I want to bring before us tonight is that prayer establishes, it cultivates, and it strengthens a beautiful and intimate relationship with our God. I cannot say it enough. Beautiful is one of the many character traits of our Lord and Savior, and it is the one that's going to continue to rise to the surface tonight. He is beautiful. To be in his presence is beautiful, right? To worship and pray to him is beautiful, right? And sometimes we've lost that love and that adoration for the Lord. And so we're asking God in this season to really renew that, restore that in us, and help us get back on track, or continue to help us grow in our prayer life so that we can get closer to God, right? Isaiah 9:6 was one of the verses that I was just kind of meditating on. And we have so many, there's so many wonderful character traits of our Lord. He is truly, truly, truly wonderful. He is our comforter. He is our greatest confidant. He is our mighty God, right? We have to sometimes think about who God is and sit on that and reflect on it. Like, he's not just somebody far off that we just pray to, but he is our mighty God. He is our faithful friend. He is our wonderful counselor. He is our everlasting father. He is a father to the fatherless, meaning we may not have a natural father, but yet we have a heavenly father. He's our Prince of Peace. That means in our times of anxiety, we can call on the name of God in our prayer time, wherever we are, and he will pour out his peace upon us. We can pour our heart out before him in prayer. And more importantly, in James 4:8, the Bible says, as you draw nigh, which means near, to God, guess what he's going to do, ladies? He's going to draw near to us. He also says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's what we are doing through this series. We are seeking God. We are searching for him with all of our heart so that we can pursue his heart. And that was Jeremiah 29:13. And one of the ways that we can do that is through prayer. I'm going to pause there to see if there's any comments or any thoughts that are rising to the surface as you're kind of hearing this. And I'll address just a comment. So with any thoughts that are not in alignment to the word of God, there is a scripture, I believe it is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, right? And it tells us that we bring into captivity every thought. So that means as soon as a thought rises, and we all have them. I mean, this is why it's important for us to always, this is what I do. At the end of the night, I say, Lord, whoo, please forgive me for my sins and my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. Because every day, even if we don't say it, we're thinking something that is not we're thinking something that is not in alignment with God's word, because we're human, meaning somebody may cut us off. while we're driving, and immediately we might be thinking we want to follow them and let them have it and curse them out. This is, we're human. We are in fleshly bodies. So if we don't automatically like take these thoughts captive, that means we automatically say, oh my goodness, God, I'm having this thought. I need to bring it before you. Help me with these thoughts. We have to bring them into captivity. So we literally have to immediately, as we think them and as they come to our hearts and minds, one, we repent because, oh my goodness, the thought is not like, it's not in alignment with you. So that means you just simply say, God, forgive me. Help me not to have these thoughts. So we have to really just ask the Lord, and he already knows, but he desires for us to ask him for his help. That's why he says only those who are going to find him are those who seek him. So that means when we have those thoughts, we leave them at the altar. So we automatically ask God to come in, purify our heart, God, make us more like you so that we won't have as many of these thoughts. God, purify or purge my flesh, which is our fleshly, of anything that is not like God. The thoughts, the desires, the habits, and God will do that. We let him in. God's going to do a whole heart surgery on our hearts because that's what he desires for us to be made into his image, conformed into the image of Christ, to be more like him, right? And as we decrease, allowing the Lord in to the areas that we may not have given him, he's going to increase in our lives. So we want to immediately, as we have those thoughts, we invite the Lord to check us. Oh, Lord, search our hearts, right? Examine us, know our thoughts, right? This is Psalm, I think, 139, verses 23 to 24, right? See if there be any wicked way in us or offensive way in us, and please lead us to the path of everlasting life. So again, there's a need for us to constantly ask the Lord to search our hearts. It is real. Our hearts, according to Jeremiah, are deceitful and wicked above all else. So who can know them? The Lord knows them. But in terms of what we have the ability to do in our flesh, there are many things that we can do that are contrary to the word of God. So we just invite the Lord in. We help me, God, search my heart, remove that thought. Please forgive me for that thought. Help me to think your thoughts. Help me to think on the things that are good, that are true, that are noble, that are of good report. And we'll be surprised at how the Lord can, like, he starts to just help us each day. Each day we'll notice we have less thoughts, right? So that's my response to that question. But that was a great question, because none of us are exempt from having thoughts that don't align with the word of God. We are all on this journey trying to just pursue Christ, and none of us are perfect. We are really all just seeking God for strength and for help and for just his support and assistance to really get through this journey. And truly, we cannot do it without him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That is John 15:5. That's just it. That's it in a nutshell, right? The last point is just want to bring this point home again. Prayer is a direct line of communication to our Lord and Savior, but it's a two-way conversation, right? Have you ever been in a conversation where the person is doing all the talking, and then when it's time for us to talk, they're all of a sudden not listening? That is not the way that the Lord desires for our relationship to be with him. When we pray, the Lord does hear us. That's what the word says. There are so many scriptures, right? Psalms 34:15 says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry, right? Psalms 145:18 says the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. But we must understand that a two-way conversation consists of talking and listening. So we have to have moments where we are still and quiet. And so the Lord may speak, we may get a song, we may get a poem, we may begin to draw something, and we're like, where did this artwork come from? And it's God's way of speaking to us. So we don't box God in, meaning we're expecting to hear an audible voice, but when we're still and quiet in his presence, we may begin to like journal a song. I've had moments where the Lord will give me songs. I've written poems. I've written books that he's given me, like in my quiet time. So we just need to open our hearts to saying, Lord, speak to me however you desire to speak to me. And we have our journals ready just to hear and receive that which God wants to say to us. I want to talk about the stillness. Stillness has to be something that is learned. It is not something that's automatically, like, we're not going to automatically know how to be still. If we are new to this type of engagement with the Lord, meaning we haven't really been still and quiet in his presence before, we're going to actually have to ask the Lord to help us still our thoughts, quiet our minds, so that we can actually hear from him. Because as people, our mind is racing. We have thoughts. We have what we need to do next. We have, oh, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to get the kids, got to get the dinner. There's always something in our minds and hearts. So we have to actually cultivate or allow the Lord to cultivate in us a stillness, a stillness, a stillness. And when I say, and God can do it, when I tell you he can do it, I used to always be in my head. And over time, the Lord showed me how to be still and quiet. Now I can be still in God's presence for hours, but I had to get to this place. I had to see God to get to this place. So we have to ask the Lord for his help. If we know we can't be still and we're distracted, we say, God, I really want to be still and quiet so that you can share with me, but I'm sorry, I just can't. I'm struggling. I feel like I'm pulled in many different directions. I feel like I don't understand how to be still. We just have to talk to God about it. And we'll watch and see that as we continue to do what we can, God is going to continue to help us be still and quiet. Because again, he desires to speak to us. It's not even just that he desires to hear from us, that he desires relationship with us, but he desires to speak to us. And we can only hear from God once we have drowned out the noise of the world around us. And sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's knowing that we have to go into a certain place of the house, go away to a certain place in order for us to have that type of stillness. Maybe we're in a home where we just know that it's not going to be still and quiet because we have people in and out or whatever it is, or maybe there's animals. There's all of these different things that can compete for our attention. And so what I did last year that I pray the Lord will allow me to do this year is every couple of months, or I was able to go away to the mountains. And actually Kate, who's on the line, I met her in the mountains where she was away with her husband. And this is just amazing how God does things. So, and I think, I don't know, Kate, if you were away for a retreat, or I can't remember, but I know, yes. Okay. But anyway, we connected on that trip, but that is like our place. Like the Poconos Mountains is the place where we meet with God. And then Kate, by way of the Holy Spirit, he allowed her to have a special, her and her husband to have like a place, or her to have a place where she can actually now go back to her own place that is a nice, quaint little place in the mountains where she can be still and quiet, to journal, to draw, to whatever it is that she wants to do, but it's a quiet place. And so sometimes we have to figure out what that place is for us. But I know the Poconos, for me, this particular resort, it is near and dear to my heart because that was where the Lord allowed me to go every couple of months, all of last year. He allowed me almost all of last year to be there and to just be quiet with him and not to watch TV. I mean, it is, when I say, sisters, when we actually desire to see God, oh, he's going to open up avenues and ways and provision to pay for certain things. And so I am praying that I'm able to go back this year, because it was truly, truly a delight and a treat to do Bible studies just like over dinner. I mean, just seeking God for a weekend, even if we can get away for just a half day or a day or a night. Again, we begin where we are. There is no one is saying that all of a sudden you go from not spending quiet time at all with the Lord to having a 3-day weekend in the mountains. You probably won't farewell, because you're just starting out, right? And so unless the Lord draws you to that and tells you to do that, that is obviously you obey the Lord, but just beginning where you are. So I 3.5 years ago, I couldn't do weekend retreats with no TV and no nothing, just hearing from God and praying, and just, I couldn't do that. But I started with blocking my Saturday mornings off 8 to 12, and this is such a true story, literally this is 3.5 years ago, before right before I surrendered to the Lord. This is like the start. So I will block my calendar every other Saturday. That was just me starting to really put God first. 8 to 12, I wouldn't do anything during that time. I would just pray, and just talked to God, and just, I wasn't even sure what I was supposed to do, but I knew 8 to 12 on my calendar, I wouldn't take anything. And if people try to put something like, no, I can't come, 8 to 12 is my time with God. And I watched how the Lord allowed that bi-weekly time to turn into like a full day, to turn into now, again, days, right? A weekend. I could go away for days and just be on the mountaintop with the Lord, but I had to get here. So I believe the Lord is trying to get us to a place where we actually are seeking him and we are in a place of greater intimacy with him. It is not an overnight journey. Even if we are seasoned in God, sometimes we have fallen off the horse. Sometimes we need to find our way back to God. Sometimes we need to get back into the mojo, get back to our routines. And so I believe that the Lord is going to allow us to do just that this year. And again, I'm looking forward to really just, I've done a retreat here in the house for a week, but it's nothing like going off site to be with the Lord. It is just a whole different experience. And I know, again, Kate can attest to that. It's just a different experience to be in the mountains, you're outdoor. I mean, it's just amazing. It really, really is. It is amazing when we go away. Then we meet people and then the Lord will, I mean, all of it is a part of God's plan. Truly, 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 it is a part of God's plan. So just to do a quick recap, I mean, again, God is just so amazing. He's drawing us back to him, right? That means that we're already in relationship with him. We're already saved. But then there are some of us who have really fallen, again, off course, kind of fallen off of our routine or off of our routine. When I say routine, I don't mean like checklist routine, but I mean, we had this relationship and this sort of intentional times of prayer. This is just what I'm sensing. We had something already in place, and then life came, and then all of a sudden now we're trying to find our way back into our quiet time, our stillness, our prayer. And I believe the Lord is going to allow us to do just that through this study. And this is, again, just part one. And one of my prayers is for deeper realms of prayer. So just, Lord, how can I get closer to you through deeper levels of prayer? Because there's always levels in this. And so sometimes we feel like, okay, well, I know how to pray. I've arrived. No, none of us have arrived. None of us will ever arrive while we're here on the earth, right? So we're constantly in pursuit of God. Like, we're constantly learning and growing and reading our word and praying and worshiping, which we'll talk about, and fasting. We'll talk about fasting too. Fasting is one way to pursue the heart of God, turning down our plates to put our flesh under subjection, to hear from God. It is amazing, amazing, amazing. It is beautiful. So again, God desires to speak to us. I can promise us that if we intentionally clear some time to hear from God, to talk to God, to be still, bathtub, walk outside. I mean, sometimes you may want to walk and just take in the beauty of God's creation, and then God will speak, right? You'll see birds. He speaks through different things. I mean, you may see an eagle soaring and God may speak to you in a still small voice. I'm telling you, it is, when we seek God, when we actually say, God, I want to hear from you wherever I am. I want to know that you're listening to me. You're hearing me, God. I'm telling you, he is amazing. You will be surprised at what he will do as we are seeking him and asking him to meet us and to really draw us closer to him. So with that, it's 7:47. I'm super excited. I'm going to just see if there's any comments or any thoughts before we just wrap up now. Any thoughts? Do you believe that this will be helpful to you? Are you looking to reestablish your kind of life in prayer, or you're looking to kind of just strengthen it? Are you really trying to find your way back to God through prayer? Hey, y'all.
I think for me, it's just reconnecting. End of 2022, been rough. At the beginning of 2023 is not, you know, going, and I was kind of losing a little faith and a little hope. So for me, it's just confirmation, you know, just to keep holding on to God. You know, he is, you know, he's always going to be my help. He's always going to be there. So for me, it's just reminding me to, like you said, pursue him no matter what I go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Just press in. Press in. I'm sorry, Kate, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just ironic that the words here, the deeper that you use the word deeper levels of prayer, because I've been thinking about, I use the phrase the beginning of the deep in reference to a situation that I'm going through now. Aging parents, it's the beginning of the deep with the elderly parents. And so this is a good time for that deeper prayer through this experience with my family. So
yes, amen. Yeah, and we'll be praying with you about that, because that's rough. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, and again, the timing couldn't be better, because you're probably going to need a lot of support, as you said, as this is the beginning of the deep, and the Lord is going to be your strength. Even as Hope said, He's going to be your help. He's going to be your rock in this time. And so, journaling with Him. I know you're a journaler. I'm a journaler. I don't know about you, Hope, but I do a lot of journaling. Yeah, so you'll find that might be one outlet for you, and one place where the Lord speaks to you and kind of meets you in that and gives you that strength that you'll need as you begin this journey or continue in this journey. Yeah, so the worst thing I think that we can do, and I say this because I lost my mom last week. So I lost my mom, I did, and I was like, the show goes on, right? But when I say the show goes on, I don't mean it in an insensitive way. I mean, my mom has gone home to be with the Lord. So there are things that sometimes can derail us if we allow them, but this is not, I couldn't allow it to derail me, because one, she's gone home to be with the Lord. She's way better off than we are, right? That's one. And when we lose loved ones that are saved, our mourning looks different as believers. So it's not mourning like a heaviness and a heavy heart and it's a rejoicing. It is a joy. It is a peace that she was able to find her way back to the Lord before she passed. So that again, we're talking about the firm foundation. We're talking about the Lord's grace and how He allowed her to drew her back to Him 2 weeks before she passed. So when we talk about the Lord and pursuing God and holding on to Him, oh my goodness, it is so true. During the tough times, we have to hold on to the Lord. We got to hold on. We got to press in even when we want to retreat, because the enemy will come and he'll be like, well, that prayer not working. The prayers ain't working. You've been praying about this for 2 weeks and you don't even see a change. But the Bible tells us that He hears our prayers. So we have to automatically rebuke, which means no, that thought, even if you have to say it out loud, I don't receive that thought. And then start to recite scripture. So you have to know your scripture, at least have a couple of scriptures that you stand on, so that when the thought comes, you can automatically counter it with the word of God, right? And we can say it's written, right? That all that call upon the Lord, that He hears, right? It's written. So we begin to just counter the thoughts, the negative thoughts and lies of the enemy. I mean, again, it is just, it's amazing. God's strength is real. So press in, Kate, press in, Hope. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, because on the other side, there's fruit. And the Bible says that all things work together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So that's us, right? We love the Lord. We're called according to His purpose. So that means when situations happen, we look to see, even when I'm in my mom's passing, I'm asking the Lord, I'm like, so who's going to be saved out of this? How will You be glorified from my mom's passing? What do You have, God, that You're going to do through her passing that is going to speak to what Your word says, that all things work together for our good? See, we got to stand on God's word through the mountaintops, through the valley lows. We have to know God. We got to stand on it. Y'all can't see it, but we got to stand on it. So when people are like, are you good? You okay? I'm okay only because of the strength of the Lord. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. That's it. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Our help comes from the Lord. As we call on God's name, He literally will release a supernatural strength, glory to God, into our hearts and minds. We're struggling, but God is saying, call on Me. Oh, call on Me. And He's going to release it everything that we need in this hour. Oh, hallelujah, God. I'm just going to start to pray over these two sisters that are on the line, God, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for Kate and Hope, God. I thank you, oh, hallelujah, God. Even this season, God, I ask, Lord, that you would just show yourself mighty and strong, God. I even ask that you would just begin, even now, just to begin to release, God, a strength into them, God, a strength for them to be able to carry whatever assignments, whatever sort of burdens, God, even just some things that might be just in play that haven't yet manifested, God. So maybe there's some family things that are going on, some financial things that are going on, God. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you would divinely intervene, God. And I pray that even then, if this is a storm for them, God, that even as they go through this storm, God, that you would show them that you are still with them, just as you're with me, God, even in this season of grief, God, that you are with us through every single season of our lives. So God, we rebuke every lie of the enemy that wants to tell us that we're alone. We have to figure it out alone. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You said, God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So that means during this season, we will call on you and we will cleave unto you for strength. You are our firm foundation, God. So I pray that you will release verses and scriptures that are going to be near and dear to my sister's hearts and to my heart, God, that during those seasons of even loneliness or alone or heaviness, God, or over, this is seasons where we feel overwhelmed, that we would have a verse, a scripture, a passage that we would be able to journal, to write, to draw, to recite, to post on our car, to post on our mirror, whatever it is, God, but it will be the verse, God, that you would give to us, that it will be the one that we stand on. So when the lies come, we will say, no, 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 that's not true. This is what the word of God says about my situation. This is what the word of God says about my family. This is what the word of God says about my body. This is what the word of God says about my finances. This is what the word of God says about my mind, that there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that is released when we fix our mind on those things that are good, that are worthy, that are of good virtue, God. Those things, God, I pray that you would help us, God, during those seasons where we feel like we want to stray and our thoughts get dark and we kind of almost feel like we're falling into depression, God. I pray, God, that as soon as that begins to happen, that you would bring to us good memories of how you saved us, how you delivered us, how you've done something in the past for us, how you divinely and miraculously intervened in our lives before, God. We know you've done it before, Lord, and we're going to see you do it again, God. So we stand on your word tonight, God. We stand on your promises tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. So we declare peace be released over their hearts and minds. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, peace, peace, peace. No anxiety, God, no depression. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. We release a peace over your sister, over your daughters, in the name of Jesus, God. So I thank you, Lord, even those who listen to the replay, God, let it be the same peace and anointing that's released and the same strength that is released, God. You know all things. You know every season of our lives before we even go through it, God. So we count on you, Lord. We look to you, Lord. We stand on your word. And what I hear the Lord is saying is rest in him. That means we don't try to figure it out ourselves. We seek the Lord and we rest in him. That means we wait to hear from God. We wait to hear what he wants us to do next. We wait to hear what strategies he has. We rest in God, not restlessness. Restlessness is not resting in the Lord. God, help us to rest in you. Restlessness is anxiety. Restlessness is the enemy wanting us to figure things out and have to have all the answers. We don't know the answers, but we do know the sovereign God who knows all things. So I thank you, Lord. I praise you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, ladies. So this is part one. I'm excited to hear what God is going to do through this series as we reconnect. And like you said, just reestablish the relationships, and especially in this season that, I mean, again, we all are fighting through something. Every single one of us across the body of Christ, we're all pressing in, pressing through, fighting something. It's going to be a fight. We're in a spiritual battle. So there's always a fight, but yet we trust God. So ladies, I love you. This is part one. Part two is, I think, pursuing God through worship. I need to check. I just want to confirm. Oh, no, sorry. Part two is pursuing the heart of God through studying his word. So again, it all connects. So because prayer and taking those negative thoughts captive, we have to know the word. We have to know the word of God in order to be successful in our journey. In order to know God, we have to know his word. And we have to have at least a few like of our scriptures that are our artillery. We have to have some armor. So in order for us to do that, we have to know God's word. And so that is going to be part two. So we're looking forward to that. And so, yes. So at this point, people are joining. Ladies, we are wrapping up, but the recording, I'm so sorry, we started at 7. So, but the recording is, I'm going to send out the recording and I pray that it will bless you. I know it blessed us. And so we will we'll convene again on February 17th for part two of Pursuing the Heart of God through reading and studying his word. Amen. Amen. All right, ladies, have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Love you.